to the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians. Please open your Bibles to Galatians. If you don't have a Bible, there's one provided under one of the chairs in front of you. Should be one that you're able to reach. If not, somebody will help get one to you, or you can look on with your neighbor. But everybody looking in to the Bible this morning. Last week, we started into our textual study of this book. What our manner is taking a book of the Bible and just systematically working through it. Galatians, we started last week and we studied the first five verses, the introduction or Paul's salutation. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to a group of churches that were in a province or an area of Galatia. And we saw that last week in his introduction. Please follow along in your study sheet, and we'll go ahead and jump into our next set of verses today. But so that we'll all be on the same page, let me read this introduction. Every book in the Bible, every book, either directly, many indirectly, tells you why. It tells you why it was written somewhere in the book. Today's text in Galatians does just that, as we'll see the very reason for Paul writing this letter. And it's important to note that within the ranks of Christianity, these four verses that we're going to study today are softened up in modern Bibles by mistranslations and rewording, or by simply avoiding these scriptures completely. And they are avoided, folks. It seems better in this lukewarm age to sidestep this hard issue that's presented here today and let it go unchecked rather than hitting it head on and allowing its truth to convict hearts and transform lives. I never understand why pastors or so-called preachers avoid these things when these are the very things that can transform someone's life. This morning, as we're working through the passage, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember your lost friends and family who may have been given a false hope in religion. And as a result, they might think they're okay, but as a result, will face the consequences in the future. You see, for certain, as the Bible states, there will come a time to answer for their rejection of the gospel and to face judgment from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It's not about us being right today, folks. It's not about our church that we're right. It's that God is true. And the Bible is true. That's the issue. It's not us. We're not the issue. The title of today's message is The People's Problem. And our text today is Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. So I'm going to read verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. And I'd like to ask you to follow along with me as I read. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let's pray. These are very powerful and cutting words that we have here, Father. But they're Your words. Your Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write them, so these are not his words. You simply used him as a vessel. These are Your words. And we believe them. And in this culture, it's very hard for people to speak of such things and to elaborate on them. Lord, I want to do that today to your glory, not for mine, not to satisfy any need that I have to want to say hard things, but that your truth would go forth. Father, I pray that this message would be powerful, that it would touch people's hearts, and it would change people's minds, but more than that, that it would change people's life today. I pray if there's anyone unsaved, yet unsaved in this room today, that today their eyes would be opened and that they would get saved. I pray that everyone in here would understand the context of this message and how it's being presented, that you have a heart of love for people. But when you love something, you also hate something else. And Lord, while you love the sinner, you hate sin. And while you are truth, you hate things that are a lie. And so I pray that I'd represent you and your words properly, that I myself would be out of the way and would speak with power through your Spirit. I pray for the lost to be saved, and I pray for believers to be closer to you as a result, that we would learn some things today that would help us in reaching the lost world. We commit this time into your hands, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now if you just kind of glance over these first five verses here, I'm not going to read them, but in the first five verses of the opening greeting, what Paul has done, and we looked at this last week, he is detailed his authority to confront the Galatian believers. He identifies himself as Paul, an apostle. So he laid out his authority to confront them, because this letter is very confronting. And he's already proclaimed this apostolic ministry before we get into these verses today. It's already been proclaimed. He's proclaimed his heartfelt gospel message. He's already done that. And his real motive is to bring glory to God. He's laid that out. And so now, through these first five verses, we're now entering in to the next set of scriptures. And he fires a flaming arrow right into the heart of the real issue, the reason why he wrote this letter. And the first bullseye he hits, very first thing, is point number one, a false gospel. Boy, if anything deserved being hit with a flaming arrow, it's that, isn't it? A false gospel. And immediately, when we hit verse 6, he reveals the exasperation that he has with the Galatian churches. And I use the word exasperation because it means frustration. It means that you can tell when you read this. I've read it over and over and over and over and written this out and been praying through this. You can feel his frustration, his irritation with them, and even his anger. And it even indicates that he has some type of anxiety over this whole issue, for fear that these people might fall away and stop the pursuit or the propagation of the gospel in this area. You can almost sense that. Look in verse 6. He says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." He's exasperated. And first he's exasperated because of the churches. There's multiple churches he's writing to, because of the church's desertion of God. Look at it. "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you." From him that called you. You see, the Galatian churches, folks, were not simply abandoning doctrinal truth, the doctrinal truth of the gospel, but they were actually abandoning the very God who saved them. And he articulates that there in verse 6. God set them free with the truth, and now they're deserting him for human leaders who are leading them back into bondage again. My friends, this is a very, very, very serious issue. When you walk away from sound doctrine, especially sound doctrine as it concerns the gospel, you're first and foremost walking away from God Himself. That's what it says. I'm just expounding what it says. I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you. Listen, we have a unique ability to bless the heart of God, but also to grieve God. And this is grieving to God, leaving His truth behind. False doctrine and false gospels not only take believers, they not only remove believers from a thriving relationship with the Lord, but it goes beyond that. It goes farther than that. It separates the lost from Jesus Christ. It makes our work unfruitful. No wonder why the apostle was perplexed. I marvel. He can't believe it. He's exasperated. And next we see he's exasperated by the church's desertion of the grace of Christ. I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. They weren't simply changing doctrines or beliefs or moving from one church to another, but were deserting the very grace of Christ. They're abandoning liberty for legalism. How terrible. Some of you have been involved in legalistic churches. Aren't you glad to be out of that nonsense? I mean, it's so depressing. It consumes your life. There's no freedom there. They're giving up liberty for legalism. Folks, we must never forget that the Christian life is a living relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. It's deeply personal. We're not religionists, folks. There are people over the years that have just think because I'm a Baptist pastor that somehow I'm religious, and I'm not religious. I guess from their definition, that's what they think. But, man, I'm not religious. You're not religious. We love the Lord. That's really the issue. None of us, think about this, none of us became a Christian by merely agreeing to believe certain doctrines. You ever deal with somebody and they want to know the pinpoint information, and then they're like, and they're almost so intellectual about it, they're annoying. You ever deal with somebody like that? No, really. Listen, it's not about all those details. Look, we need details, but it really comes down to an issue of faith. It really does. That's what it's about. And it's about faith in a person, not a series of details. It's a person, the person of Christ. We became Christians by submitting our will to Jesus Christ and trusting Him. You know, in our walk, in our daily life, we come upon people that we have opportunities to ask them, are you saved? Do you guys have that opportunity? Are you born again? Are you a Christian, right? And you know, people often give all kinds of positive responses to that aren't saved. Isn't that the truth? Lost people always say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, I might not understand being born again, but yes, I'm, and they might eke out the word saved. People don't like that word, do they? They might eke out the word saved, but people say they're, yes, I'm saved. And isn't it true? I'm not saying you can judge somebody's heart, but you can judge what people say, how they behave, and you can judge what they say they believe. Don't when you ask people that, don't you sometimes think they're not saved? Huh? All the time. Well, I've kind of got into this new thing here maybe a couple of years ago. You know what I follow that up with? We should also add this question to the mix. You're saved? Yep. Do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love Jesus Christ? Many years ago, down at the First Baptist Church of New Philadelphia, I was the leader of the college and career singles. and we started a ministry. It just kind of happened through my work. We started taking the gospel, and we had some singers and some pianists, and we'd go into the local nursing homes. We ended up in a fairly decent-sized nursing home ministry where we're actually providing Sunday services in the afternoon with singing, music, specials, and a preacher, the whole thing. It worked out really well. But, you know, when we are dealing, especially back then, you're dealing with an older population, and if you ask how many of you know the Lord, they all raise their hand. Every one of them raised their hand, and it became very frustrating in dealing with that because they all know the man upstairs. You know, that's the term that they used. And so I'd remembered this a few years ago, and I'm like, man, I got away from this thing. I need to get back to it. I started asking them way back when, do you love God? Do you know Him? Do you have a love in your heart for Jesus Christ? Do you love what the Bible says? Then the hands started dropping off. Then we had an opportunity to talk to somebody rightly. Listen, this whole thing that Paul's dealing with here is they're mixing works in with the gospel. They're saying, look, yeah, well, you know, Paul's right about Jesus, but, you know, you really need to do this and you really need to do that. And you need to keep the law of Moses, you know, because after all, you don't want to lose what you have. And for those that you're sharing the gospel with, you know, it's not just so simple as just receiving Christ. I mean, you really need to do this, 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 and this. That's what they were saying. And Paul's coming against that because when you really think about it, you can't mix grace with works. You can't. Listen, the one excludes the other, doesn't it? It's either grace or works. Listen, salvation is the gift of God's grace, purchased for us by our Savior. To turn to the law is to desert God and to desert the grace of God. And that's one of the hard issues that people are faced with that believe that you can lose your salvation. There is a whole group of Christians that even claim to be born again that believe that you can lose your salvation. So essentially what they're saying is that you can keep or maintain your salvation through your good works. That's terrible. That is absolutely not right. We talked about this last week. God wants us to do good works. He ordained us to do good works, to be a testimony to Him and His goodness to us, to be a living testimony of His grace, not to do good works to work our way to heaven. And that's what these guys are saying, these legalists are saying, and Paul is coming against this. And in the opening verse, in the opening part of verse 7, we see the determination of the Apostle Paul. Look, he says, which is not another. Verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. That's what he says. Emphatically states, which is not another. In other words, he's saying there is no other gospel. There's no other gospel. He's saying you're listening to something that someone is calling the gospel, but there's no other gospel. That's what he's saying. And I put this out in your study sheet. I want to work you through this morning. Why don't you hold your place here in Galatians and turn back to Romans chapter 10. And we're not going to look up 1 Corinthians 15. We did that a few weeks back. So you can look that up later if you'd like. But this is the plain and simple gospel. Now you're in Romans. I'm going to quote 1 Corinthians 15. This is the plain and simple gospel as it's found in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4. And I listed these elements out for you in your study sheet. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It needs to be according to the Scriptures, not some other way. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to what? Okay, that's this plain and simple gospel as it's found in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Paul very clearly lays that out. Plus nothing, minus nothing, that's the gospel that you have right before you on your study sheet. Now that's the what of the gospel. That what is the gospel? That's the gospel. What is it? That's it. Now next, what we find in Romans chapter 10 is the how to apply that gospel. It's what to do with that gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Plus nothing, minus nothing. In Romans chapter 10, we have the how to apply it. Look at Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be what? That's simple. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. I'm not ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. He's not a respecter of persons. Anyone can get saved. Verse 13. This is simple, folks. The Bible is not hard to understand. It's hard for people to believe what it says. Look at it, verse 13. For whosoever, you can put your name right in there. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've let into your eyes or your ears. I don't care where your feet have taken you. I don't care what your hands have done. It doesn't matter. Anything. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved. Not you hope you can be saved. It says shall be saved. Listen, this is the response we must have when hearing the gospel. Here's the prescription. Here's what we do with the gospel. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And I kind of crammed them all together here. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So what do you confess? What do you confess? Well, you would confess that Christ is the only way. You would confess that Christ died for your sins. And if you're confessing that Christ died for your sins, then you naturally would have to understand that you are what? A sinner. So there's going to come with it a sorrowful and repentant heart over your identity. We want to try to make this out, this repentance, about particular sins in your life. And it breaks down that way, I guess. But really, that isn't the issue. The issue is our vile identity. All those things that we do that people want to say, well, you got to change this and you got to change that. Even lost people today, they come up to me and talk to me at times after services. And they'll say, well, I'm just not there yet. You know, I need to get this fixed in my life. No! The issue isn't that point. The issue is this point. Yuck! We're sinners. And having a repentant heart is, I'm sorrowful over who I am. That's the issue. It's, look, the details get worked out and they need to be worked out. True? But the issue is my stinking, filthy, rotten identity. And I don't ever want anything to make me feel better about that. And I don't need counseling. I don't. I have the greatest counselor lives inside me. That's the issue. That's the kind of stuff you confess. And you also believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So think about this. Folks, the resurrection makes Christ's blood atonement that we sang about. Thank you, Brother Jay. Thank you for choosing the songs that we sing on Sunday morning. Amen. They're meaningful. They're powerful. Thank you for singing those songs today, Victoria. That song today, Victoria and Greg. Thank you. He is our hiding place. We need a hiding place. Isn't that the truth? Listen, Christ's blood atonement, His resurrection makes His blood atonement effective to us in our life. Because He lives, we live. Because He rose from the dead, we surrender, we believe that He died for our sins, we receive Him as our Savior, and His resurrection makes it effective in us, so we have a new life. We have a changed life as a result. So with your heart, that's the personal part. If I don't have anything to give Him, to walk with Him, to hold His hand about, then it's not personal, is it? Is it? What I have to give Him aren't my good works. It isn't the details. It's me. It's my life. It's yours. Take me. That's a scary thing, isn't it? And then you know what we do after that happens? We want to hold on to things. Don't we? Yuck. Why do we do that? Because we're sinners. Boy, thank God for the blood of Christ. Because when we do that, it's still under the blood. Amen? And then we call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. So when you add all this up, what you do is you talk to God in prayer and receive Christ as your personal sin bearer, asking God to save you. You see, when a sinner makes up his mind to get saved, he's going to for sure call upon the Lord. That's what he's going to do. He recognizes his sin and his need for Christ. He prays to confess Christ as the only way. He believes by faith that Christ is alive and has the power to save him. And he asks God to save him. And this can be done anywhere at any time. You don't have to raise your hand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Do you know that? You can get saved that way, but you don't have to. You don't have to walk the aisle and step out and come down here and kneel down with tears. Many do, but you don't have to. You can get saved anywhere at any time by calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The true gospel is simple. You can get saved anytime, anywhere, and today is a great day for that to happen. Isn't that the truth? So I put this on your study sheet. Any other message is false and a clear departure from the plain and simple truth. And I heard this a long time ago from an old preacher, and I just grabbed a hold of it. I love it. It's so true. You might want to underline it. It's man's words, but it's powerful. Things that are different are not the same. They're not the same. Something that's different from this gospel is not the gospel. Things that are different, whatever it is, aren't the same. That's enlightening, isn't it? Wow. Wow. Listen, there is what Paul is saying here. He says, back to Galatians, which is not another. There is no other. That's what he's saying. There's no other gospel. And let me just say this today. If you have not obeyed this gospel right here to be saved, you're not saved. If you didn't obey this gospel, but some other gospel that's adding things to this or taking something away, then you're not saved. It's real simple. So please trust and obey what the Bible says and get saved today. Why not? It's a good day and a good safe place. So, was I exasperated? I was trying to get into this here today and represent the text properly. Paul has expressed his exasperation and I was feeling it. He expressed his exasperation rather. I was exaggerating. He was exasperating. Toward their departure from God and His grace, and he's shown his determination toward the one true gospel, and obviously can't out, he says. There's no other gospel. Get rid of anything else. And he fires the next arrow at the bullseye of false preachers. False preachers. And he exposes them as the enemy. And he reveals some identifying traits, their present identification. And the first one that he identifies in verse 7, he says, which is not another, verse 7, but there be some that, what? Trouble you. They are troubling. Those religions that preach a false gospel of works do nothing but trouble the hearts of their followers. That's why their followers are involved in all kinds of worldly crazy things, typically. Because they're troubled. Troubling is to cause one stress and anxiety. And every single false religion offers no hope. That's what they have in common. Not one of their followers has any assurance that they're going to go to heaven and be with God or whatever they may believe. And that's what they all have in common. They're troubled because there's no peace or assurance in this false system. Listen, think about it. How could you ever know when you've done enough, when you've said enough, when you prayed enough or performed enough good deeds? How would you know if it's based on works? How would you know? So you're going to be troubled, right? And you know what? What else? There's a code among them. We don't talk about that. Let's not talk about it. You know, I'm always freaked out by the fact that, you know, if I ask somebody, well, what do you believe? Or are you saved? Or, you know, do you love God? Or however you ask the question, I'm always amazed at people, how they get mad over that. Don't you just wish somebody would ask you that? And when they do, you're like, yeah. You see, there's a difference. You're not troubled. You see? You're not troubled by it. They are. That's why they don't... it crawls all over them and they don't like it. Well, you know, we're just not supposed to talk about religion and politics. We're not supposed to talk about such matters. Well, no kidding. When you're troubled, who wants to? When you're troubled over the issue, when you don't really know what you believe and it's just based on what somebody told you or you're counting on your own works, then of course it's troubling. That's what these guys do, and that's what they all have in common. They bring trouble to hearts and minds, not rest, not grace, not peace, and certainly not security. Man, aren't you glad you've got security? I'd lose my salvation every day just by the thoughts that I have sometimes. Isn't that the truth? I've said this before, and I'm going to trust that you take this properly. But if you knew the thoughts that I'd been thinking throughout this week, you wouldn't come here. You wouldn't be here today. But I can say that because, guess what? It's true about you too. It is. And to the world, that doesn't make sense, but in an awesome way, doesn't that bring comfort to your heart to know that I'm still loved by God? I don't have a license to go out and sin and sin against God. I have the freedom to live my life and do anything that's right for the Lord. And when I have problems in my thoughts or my actions, my words, my deeds, I'm still loved by God. Because it's based on Him, not me. Else I'd never be saved. Else I'd never be able to keep my salvation. I'd be done. Praise God for the gospel. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Listen, what the other false gospels give, what Paul's coming against. And remember this, when Paul writes this at this time in history, these guys that are preaching these gospels, these false gospels, they're mixed in with these churches. They're roaming around this area. So this letter isn't some bland letter out there. It's picking a fight with people. Do you understand that? Because these people are reading this, and you know, oh, it didn't just end there. This would have caused debates and troubles, and people would have been preaching the gospel, and people would have been arguing about the gospel. And they'd have been saying, no, you got to do this, this, this. No, and there'd be somebody saying no. And somebody that's not even a preacher would get up and go, no, it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that you can be saved. These conversations were going on, and while they're happening, people are getting saved. Right? This is real, folks. he's addressing problem and liars and false preachers and their false doctrines. See, they're walking around going, well, what's your hope? That's what I ask Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons when they come to my door. What do you have to offer me that I really need? I have an eternal hope that's been given to me through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who loves me. And I'm in a love relationship with Him. And I have security and preservation that's going to last today throughout all of eternity. And God has a plan and a purpose for my life right now. And He's working all these things out. What are you here for? Other than to hear about this hope. No, it's true. It's the truth. And what's your hope? Well, maybe, they say. If. And they just keep adding ifs and ifs. Well, if. Well, that sounds convenient. Convenient? The blood of Christ? That's more than convenient, pal. That's quite awesome. And I hear this. Well, I can only hope that one day I'll make it. That's not the gospel. They're trusting in a false gospel. You got the wrong religion, man. You got the wrong religion. You believe. If you really believe, or if you're sitting out there right now and you think, I only hope that I can make it. I might have just sounded mean, but I'm not trying to be mean to you. You got the wrong religion. Because that belief will send you to hell. Because you're not trusting in Christ. Only Jesus Christ can offer true and lasting peace. And praise God for the gospel. Are you glad to be saved? Listen, we should be so happy about the gospel and the fact that we have eternal life that it would cause us to jump and shout. And I'm not talking about acting like a kook or nothing. But it should cause us to be happy. I got to tell you, this was an exciting week for people born and raised around here. Wasn't it? This was a thrilling week. I was praying I get my voice back so I could preach the gospel on Sunday. And we've been following the tribe, right? We follow a tribe here of Indians. And I'm telling you, I've been convicted in my heart. Because in my house, you know, it's what time? The game's on between 10 and 11 at night. It's been nice out and all the windows are up. You know, we don't have to have the air on, you know, or the heat or anything. And so you can hear the neighborhood's quiet, except at our house. Yeah! Woo! Go! Give me that drum! Bang, 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 bang. I like that guy, man! And I'm so happy. I'm at JBI, you know, and it's they're coming in on the record, the most wins in a row without a tie. And it's Thursday night, and we're at the Bible Institute. And so I'm like, we're going to have to finish this last page really fast. And I'm, you know, I shouldn't be telling you that. Thank God I'm saved. I get home, I run into the house, and everybody's there. And they're all huddled around looking. Oh, and we're losing. We're losing, man, by one run. And I'm sick. I got this knot in my stomach. Oh, man. And I'm pacing back and forth. We're running into each other in my house. Oh, man. And Naquin, he makes his way to second base, and there's two outs. And Frankie gets up to the plate. There's two outs. It's the bottom of the ninth. We're behind by one run. Come on, baby. Two outs. Ah! This is better than winning the World Series almost. Almost. Bang! Yeah! No! It can't be happening! It can't be happening! Go! 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 Yeah! We tied! Another inning! This is what happened.
I think I just lost my voice. This is what's happening. Look at him. Some of you were there. I'm exhausted. Come on. Serious. It's a game. I don't know those people. Half of them ain't even from here. They can't even speak to me. I can't even have a conversation with them. I'm not dissing that. I'm not with the other controversy. I'm just saying. I don't know these people. I'm not saying we need to be nuts. But we give it our all for stuff like that, don't we? Over a game. Over a stupid game. We've been purchased by the creator and sustainer of the universe, the one who spoke nothing into something, who knows us personally, who has a plan personally for each one of our lives, who personally delivered the gospel personally throughout the ages of time, working to get each one of us the gospel. And on top of it, he became a man and gave his own life to pay for my eternity. And I have eternal life. And I make a big deal out of that. We make a big deal out of that. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves if we don't make a bigger deal out of that. Amen. Isn't that the truth? It's the truth. We should feel that way about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I can assure you, one day, we're going to be hooping and hollering and jumping up and down more than at a dumb game. So how's that for letting the hot air out of your victory? I was convicted by it, I'll be honest. I really was. I'll cheer over that. I'll go crazy over that. How do I feel about this? And you know what? The Lord was like, man, I want you to enjoy it. Good deal. I didn't have anything to do with it, but, you know, hey. He wants us to have a good life. Enjoy things in life. That's one of them. It's okay. Just doesn't want us to love those things more than him. That's all. He gives us funds and money and we can go places and do things and buy stuff. It's okay. He just doesn't want us to love those things more than we love him. That's all. See, when you love God, this whole issue of works versus grace really is not that difficult, is it? Is it? So they're indeed troubling the Galatian churches with these false gospels, and they've been troubling believers ever since for over 2,000 years. And so next, he says in no uncertain terms, that they pervert the gospel of Christ. Look in verse 7, there'll be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They perverted it. Pervert means to alter from its original meaning and to corrupt. To corrupt what was first intended. Hold your place here and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just go over one book. You'll be there. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul was talking about the same thing to the Corinthians. He didn't seem to be so... Even this crazy, sinful church in Corinth, He didn't address them with such heat as he did these Galatians. But in chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." And he's about to make a seemingly odd statement in the next verse. He says, so bear with me. He talks, the Bible talks just like we do. "For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy." So that's kind of unusual. "For I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So that's what he was saying. This might sound a little odd, but that's kind of how I feel about this. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or deceived or misled, tricked, robbed, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his," what? "Subtlety." It seems right. Well, it seems like that makes sense. "Through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the," say it, "simplicity that's in Christ." That gospel that was printed out in your study sheet? Simple. Simple. "For if he that cometh preacheth," these preachers, false preachers, "another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel," there is no other, "which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." There are going to be false preachers that are going to come along and talk about Jesus receiving the Spirit and that it's the what? Gospel. They're going to call it the gospel. They're going to say you need to receive the Spirit and Jesus. But it's not the real thing. It's a counterfeit. Look at them, the ones who do this. Verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." They're saying they're apostles of Christ, but they're false apostles. They're deceitful. They're counterfeiters. And no marvel, we shouldn't be marveled by this, "for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of" what? He's not actually an angel of light. He just is masquerading himself off to be an angel of light. "Therefore, it's no great thing if his, what? They're called ministers, folks. Do you see that? Ministers. Well, he's a minister of a false gospel. They're called ministers, and they're in churches. "Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And what Paul said in Galatians is, they're accursed. They have the curse of God on them. These so-called other gospel perversions lead to an unbiblical view of self. It causes people both lost and saved to become more self-centered instead of more Christ-centered. Because now you got to pay attention to me. Just what the devil wants. Go back to Galatians, because this is what Paul was talking about. Look to Galatians 5. We'll study this in the weeks ahead. He says in verse 4, talking about this issue, "Christ has become," Galatians 5, verse 4, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are" what? "Fallen from grace." He's not talking about losing your salvation, but rather being corrupted from the knowledge of true salvation by grace. So you give it up. You're trusting in works, not grace. Listen. Question. Have you had hardships in life? Have any of you? Maybe just some of you, right? How many of you? I want to raise it. How many of you have had hardships in life? We all have. As a believer, hard might even be going on now. Are you getting through it? Did you get through it? Now let's see a raise of hands. Yeah. Do you know how you did that? God's grace. God's grace, His goodness to you. Grace gives you power to work through pain and sorrow. How many have had pain and sorrow in your life? I mean deep pain and sorrow. Maybe you have it right now. But your life is going on. And it might be hard, but you're getting through it. Raise your hand. How is that? How is that? It's not through your own conscience, rather. It's not through your own will. It's by God's grace. Grace allows you to suffer for Him without complaining or taking vengeance. Oh. I always think, I shouldn't say this, but I will. I really do think this at times. My wife, when I don't think it, my wife reminds me of it, and then I think it. People will give us a hard time if we're talking to them about the Lord. And I'm thinking right now, they don't believe, we're idiots, whatever. And I'm thinking right now, Jesus Christ is supernaturally protecting you from me. Because I'm saved. And I wouldn't harm you, but I want to. Grace allows you to suffer without complaining or taking vengeance. And God's grace gives us the ability to bring God glory in any circumstance, whether it's good or bad. You see, by perverting the gospel, these false preachers were ripping off believers from experiencing these things. That's what he wants. And damning the lost to hell. These false preachers are nothing more than perverts. That's what it says. They pervert. I know what it means. I put the dictionary definition right there for you. So they're perverts. And perverts need the gospel and they need the love of God. And I'm not saying that in this day and age. We got perverts everywhere. They're coming out of the closet. They're inventing new closets to come out of. It's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. It's disgusting. And so perverts aren't to be avoided at all costs. They need the gospel too. But their lifestyle and their behavior is to be, right? You know, I remember I grew up when I was little on Anna Avenue, right across from Central Catholic High School, 144 Anna Avenue. And there was one of the first McDonald's. It's on the corner of, where is it, Perry and Tusk? Woodlawn, that's right. Bruno, same neighborhood there. And so, remember the old stop-and-go store, Bruno, that was right there? You went there, I went there. We're kids, we would have run into each other. Well, I was a little older than you, so. Anyhow, that's another story. I remember when they constructed, you would walk in the door of the store, and off to the left was the counter, and then they had a lot of the stuff there. And they moved the counter a little closer and they constructed this hideout that you could clearly see with little walls built up. And that's where they had the dirty magazines, pornography. And they started selling that stuff. And I remember walking in there as a boy with my mom, and we walked in the door, and my mom's, you know, a rough little petite, you know, Irish girl. And she walked in and she was disgusted by that. Amen. Disgusted by it. And she said, Tommy, she said it this loud, Tommy, so everyone in the store could hear, Tommy, you stay away from those perverts that are back there behind that wall. So I grew up my whole life thinking, perverts, not good. And I'll stay away, Mom. You got it. Which, by the way, my lost mom, who's saved now, was absolutely right. People that look at pornography are perverted. There you have it. Perverts. You're a pervert if you do that. You are a pervert. My mom had the call right. Right! Or, as this week would prove, out. It's true. You're out. So when I see the word pervert, I don't have good thoughts about that. I think that's absolutely wrong and to be avoided. So mark it down. It doesn't ultimately bode well. I know that's sexual perverts. I get it. I get the difference. I know that it doesn't bode well for perverts, not in this life or the next, does it? And that leads us to his next point, their future judgment. Verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be, what? Accursed. Their future judgment, they are and will be accursed. Now whether he was describing the curse upon them, or he was just expressing his anger and desire for their damnation, either way, anyone who preaches or receives a false gospel will ultimately be cursed. Think about it. Accursed, it means being under a curse, doomed to destruction or misery, separated from the faithful, wicked or malignant in the extreme. It specifically targets the false preacher and teacher here in this context. It includes false gospel messages purported by other so-called apostles, as we saw when we compared Scripture with Scripture, or, as it says here in the text, even an angel from heaven, or any man. So it includes anybody who preaches a false gospel. And it literally means that they'll be damned to an eternity in the flames of hell, unless, of course, they repent and get saved, since the blood of Christ can cleanse us from all sin. Not angels. Humans. But in a practical sense, for believers in Galatia and believers today that have been corrupted this way, this curse is a daily damnation. Your life is damned on a daily basis because you live a life of misery and condemnation with no grace. That I use that word that way, that curse that way. That's a curse to you. If you're saved and you're going to heaven and you live like you're not and you're living under the law, you've volunteered to be under a curse. So your life is cursed. Listen, I got saved later in life, and I remember when I lived under a curse when I was unsaved. I don't want to live under any curse while I'm saved. Yuck. Living with no hope. I remember what it was like to live with no hope. I wish I would have got saved when I was young. I have people tell me, well, you know, I don't have a testimony like yours, Pastor. I got saved when I was a kid, and I'm like, man, I wish I had a testimony like yours. I do. That's the best testimony. Don't let anybody rip you off from that. Now, while it's a specific curse to the preachers and teachers of a false gospel, by default, it includes any and all false religions and so-called Christian denominations that preach a false gospel. Would that be true? Would that be true? Obviously. And listen, I didn't make this following list, you're already looking at it, to cause trouble. Listen, it's a free country, and I promise you, you can believe whatever you want. I don't care. I care about your soul, but you can believe whatever you want. Listen, I may not respect a man's religion, but I do respect a person's right to believe whatever they want to believe and would defend it. So I'm only using a written testimony to judge things. That's all I'm doing. And I laid it out on your study sheet in the form of a simple gospel. So, that being said, I made this list not to trouble you, but to get you thinking about people that you may know. It's about people who are being... That's what Paul's issue was. That's why he wrote it. He cares about these people. And so I put together this list so that you can be thinking about people you may know who are being taught false gospels by these false preachers. So here's the list of some. Are you guys ready? This is some. Now, I didn't list, well, you left out all these other religions in the world. No, these are pseudo-Christian religions because that's what's being dealt with here. So this is when somebody takes Christ, the blood of Christ, and then either takes away from that or adds something to it. So I kept this at pseudo-Christian cults, churches, and organizations that preach another gospel other than what the Galatians received and other than what Paul preached. First on your list is Armstrongism. That's Herbert W. Armstrong and his son Garner Ted Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God. Now, old Herbert, he's long dead. I wonder how he feels about his religion right now. Serious. The charismatic or Pentecostal churches that teach believers get the Holy Ghost via water baptism. Many teach that. Some don't. Not everyone does. Children of God, the family. That's a cult, to be sure. Christadelphians. There's not many of them around, but they're around. Cult. They deny the deity of Christ. They put all the burden upon you to save yourself. Blech. Christian Family Fellowship, CFF, cult. Christian Science, kooks. Serious. Kooky. You investigate what they believe. Weird. Listen, not Christian, not science. So let's call it Christian Science. Serious. Church of Religious Science, crazy. No proof. It's fictional nonsense and pure make-believe. Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ, Christian churches. They believe in baptismal regeneration. Their banner verse is Acts 2:38. You got to be baptized. You got to get into the water and be baptized by one of their preachers to get saved. They were founded by Alexander Campbell. He's dead. I'll bet he's not happy with his religion right now. Harold Camping, he's nuts. The Family Radio and Family Ministries. And I'm insulting them. And I'll tell you why. Because it's kooky stuff. It's not even based in reality. It has nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing. Nothing. International Churches of Christ. Extremely dead. Jehovah's Witnesses and Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. A very huge international cult. You'll find them anywhere. Mind sciences like L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology. I guess you got to be a billionaire in order to join that kooky group. Mormonism, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Their gospel message was originally delivered to them by an angel named Moroni. And you just read, Paul said. Right, their whole religion began flying in the face of Galatians. Or an angel from heaven. And the angel Moroni, a form of the word moron. And really, I'm really, you guys are laughing, whatever. I'm just telling you, it's aggravating. Oneness Pentecostals, oneness, Jesus only, cult, denies the deity of Christ. Orthodox churches, all Eastern, Western, and Oriental. Their whole deal is, yes, we believe the gospel. Oh, yes, we do. But it's not that simple. The evangelicals will tell you it's really simple, but you have to do this, 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 and this. And then you still never know. Protestant churches that believe in baptismal regeneration and salvation by works. I grew up in a Lutheran church. They're one of them, and many in a long list. Listen, I met Lutherans in our church that I look back and I believe they were probably saved. But let me just say, anybody that's been part of that, that got out of that, knows it's bogus. They don't give you enough to get saved. They teach you, you'll walk away knowing all the stories of the Bible and you'll know about Jesus Christ, but you won't know that you need Him personally and you got to receive the gospel. And so that's wrong. Roman Catholic Church. This cult has over 1 billion followers worldwide. Most have been taken captive through one thing. You know what it is? Generations of Catholics. It's the family tradition. And boy, I can't get saved. I can't give that up because old grandma will be rolling in her grave. Listen, I'm not dissing your old dead grandma, but she is. And I don't mean this to be funny, so don't laugh. She is rolling in her grave. And it's not good. It's not bode well for her. Listen, there is nothing. There is nothing. I've never had a Catholic ever. There is not one thing in the Bible that's unique to Roman Catholicism. There's not one thing unique to them. I'm not talking about the virgin birth. That's not unique to them. I'm not talking about the Trinity. That is not unique to them. what is unique to the Roman Catholic Church that they believe has absolutely zero to do with the Bible, and you couldn't find it anywhere in the Bible. It is a cult. It's the largest, the greatest private interpreter of Scripture the world has ever known. I love Roman Catholics. My family heritage is Roman Catholics. I love them, and I hate the Roman Catholic Church because it damns billions of people over the years to hell. It's false. If you're part of that, we don't need to sidestep it. We're not mad at you. Most of us in here were. You need to get out of that junk and get saved today. Quit fooling around. You're playing with fire, literally. Seventh-day Adventists, a legalist cult. Snake handlers, hyper-Pentecostalism, they're nuts. You really want to do that? Spiritualist churches, cult. The Way International, cult. Unitarian Universalist Community, cult. Unification Church, Moonies, cult. Unitarian Universalist Association, cult. Unity School of Christianity, cult. You believe there's hundreds of thousands, millions of people that belong to all these things together when they're combined. And then Word Faith, the Prosperity Charismatic Churches. They're hyper-charismatics. They're full of charlatans. This is the group that's packed with charlatans and liars to get your money. If you'll just buy this little bottle of holy water. And you know who they prey on? The elderly. Their shows are on in the middle of the night when the elderly are awake watching TV. Those dirty rats. Dirty, lousy rats. And they dog us and say, we don't believe in the gift of healing. Listen, we believe that God can heal anybody at any time. We don't believe in the laying on of hands and apostolic healing. And if those dirty rats really believe that, they'd be up at the cancer ward at the children's hospital. And everybody'd up there get saved. Because it's not true. It's false. Listen, I know this is insulting, but if the Bible was a bowling ball and it was in their bathtub, they couldn't find it because they don't know nothing about the Bible. Nothing. I've never met one of them who know anything about the Bible. They talk about it. Out. Boot. They're accursed. They have a curse on them. They're cursed by God. Oh, You're being so mean. I'm not going to come back here. I hope you don't feel that way. We're actually a very loving group. I'm just telling you and preaching what the Bible says. Paul said accursed, and he was so upset about it, he said it twice. Note. This list represents some, not all, cults, churches, and organizations that believe works or evidences must be added to complete salvation and or deny the deity of Jesus Christ, thus presenting another Jesus. These groups may include genuine individual believers who have been saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Duh, of course. Also, there are isolated preachers among some of the above listed groups who deliver enough truth to get the lost saved, but they're the exception. The mainstream preaches a false gospel. Now, I want you to think about this. Think. According to what we just read in Galatians 8 and 9, these cults, churches, and organizations, listen, you're packing up. Hold up. Listen, according to what the Bible says, this list here and many others are cursed by God. What do you think of that? They're cursed. They have a curse upon them. And if you're part of any of these, or if you have family members that are or have been influenced by these, they have the same problems these Galatians have. They've been told a lie. And the only way to remove this curse is to receive the genuine saving gospel of Jesus Christ, who loves you, and His arms are outstretched. So, would you get saved today? Somebody should get saved today. Why not? It's a real good day to get saved. If you know a friend or family member who's not saved, will you pray and then take them the gospel? I want to finish on this note. This is the Bible. This is why I'm so... And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That's serious business, folks. Very serious. And not to be taken lightly. Thank you. That's their fate. Listen, church, listen. I'm going to finish right now. The test of your ministry is not that you're popular with everybody. They're a good Christian girl, good Christian boy, good Christian man, good Christian woman. They're friends with everybody. It's not your popularity that's the test of your ministry. It's not your likability. They got to like me. It's not your non-offensive posture. The test of your ministry is based upon your faithfulness to the Word and words of God. That's what it's based on. Discretion, the right place, the right time, timing, of course, certainly critical, but not cowardice or impetus. Discretion, yes. Timing, yes. Being careful, observing, walking circumspectly, yes. But not laziness, not cowardice, not impetus. No. Because without the gospel, people have problems. Very serious problems. Would you bow your heads?